Morning, everyone. We were this year our accurate prediction that Arnaud Demar would be a factor in Milan San Remo. Of course, lots of events have changed that, especially in the last 24 hours in Belgium. As we understand it at the moment, there are no plans to change the bike racing that's taking place over the next week in Belgium, which is probably the most positive sign that the country will not be held to ransom, but that we can get. But the first thing to say on the podcast is, naturally, that our thoughts and prayers are with our brothers and sisters in Belgium at this time. Okay, so on to the podcast proper this week. And we will talk about Milan San Remo. What a finish it was. An interesting race insofar as it's probably one of the ones that takes the slowest burn to get going. But once it does get going, it erupts into like a firework of climbs. The course is brilliant. Despite having some mountainous sections in the middle of it, with the Passo del Ticino, it does really build once they get along that lovely stretch of coast. Those sweeping bends, those lovely tunnels, those great views of the sea, those resorts just coming into life in spring. I always like to see the, I don't know why, it just reminds me of the springtime. The frames of the outside bars and things like that that are just starting to pop up, ready to be covered up with shade for the important summer period along that coast. And it was a great race. And of course, we can't not mention the controversy surrounding whether or whether not Arnaud Demar was towed by his team car up the key points of the penultimate climb, the Cipressa. He had that crash. He was caught up in a bad crash that also included Michael Matthews, one of the other pre-race favourites. And he kind of got back on and appeared from nowhere, really, in the sprint finish. So, I don't know. Do riders take tows from cars? Yes, of course they do. If they've been involved in an accident or a serious mechanical or something, do the commissaires turn a blind eye? Absolutely, yes. On certain, you know, certain cases, they definitely do. It seems that there is a bit of a credibility challenge since the nibbly one in the Vuelta last year, which of course saw him excluded from the race. So they have kind of set a bit of a precedent really now. But Demar, taking that aside, and I know that's a big thing to kind of take aside, but you know, we don't know if he did it or he didn't, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now, of course, and say that it was a pretty good finish. Yeah, you know, he put plenty of space, relatively speaking, into Ben Swift. Of course, the big questions are whether or not he would have won had it not been for the accident of Gaviria in the finishing straight, who seemed to just kind of mentally shut down and fall over. Great evasive action by some of the other riders to get round him and not cause a mass pileup. And then, of course, Bahani having the mechanical in the finishing straight, which meant he sat down and he spent more time thumping his handlebars in the last 100 metres than trying to get on terms with Demar. So you could say it was a fortuitous win. We, of course, in the last couple of podcasts have said that he's a good rider, so we'll take, obviously, the credit for that, of course. You can send your cheque to us, Arno. So, yeah, great race, great way to start the classic season, the big classic season proper. And it kind of moves us on to where we are now. Via the Tour of Catalunya. So a lot of the Grand Tour contenders that aren't involved in the Belgian Classics of this week are away in Catalunya. Another, and it's an area that we kind of know well on the podcast. We've ridden there and know that it's quite lumpy, which is why I'm in fact relatively surprised that Bahani has won both stages so far. Potentially on anger and frustration after the weekend's events, maybe, but he's looking pretty sharp, and you wonder whether that Tour de France duck could be broken this year, maybe. Although obviously you'll have Arnaud Demar potentially to contend with, but interesting. Both stages quite lumpy, quite mountainous. The favourites yet to show their hand in terms of Contador, Quintana, and Chris Froome, of course. And Richie Port, I suppose you'd put in that category. But an interesting race, lovely scenery, bit more decent weather. So it's been good to watch, another good watch on British Eurosport. So today we have potentially And I believe it is still going ahead, although teams like Giant Alpecin and others have been struggling to get their riders from all points of Europe into Belgium, naturally, to get the Belgian Classics season restarted. Because, of course, a few weeks ago we had Kerner Brussels Kerner and the Omnieuws Het Nieuwsblad. Today we've got the Dwars van Vlaanderen across Flanders. I read that, I'm not speaking Flemish or translating Flemish. And then the E3 prize of Harald Becker and then Gent Wevelgem. So it's a busy Easter period. It would have been a busy Easter period even had it not been for some of the challenges that the Belgian police naturally now face in getting the event on. Obviously the quality of the fields will be affected by the fact that riders are stranded and can't actually get into Belgium to take the start. But as we said earlier, it's a positive reflection on that country and its resilience that these events are going ahead, because they're a massive part of the cultural and sporting calendar in that country. And you know, it's worth repeating in saying that we obviously stand shoulder to shoulder here with them and absolutely agree with the decision to try and get some form of entertainment, some form of race on for the crowd. Naturally, it'll be emotional. It'll be pretty well charged. I think there's fairly short odds of a Belgian win today. I don't think necessarily it'll be a gift. You know, when we've seen big tragedies and things in other bike races, we've seen riders... gifted is not the right word, because there's no gifts when a tragedy has occurred, but the stage is not contested. I think these will be contested. In terms of predictions, seeing as now there is a target on us in terms of where we think we can go with our predictions... I think there's going to be an aggressive race from Trek, certainly today. I think we could well see Edward Turns break his big classic duck. I think he's probably more likely to be their backup plan to Cancellara and Paris-Roubaix, which means I think he'll be kind of just trying to get round Flanders and Gent-Wevelgem if he's riding both. So I think that Turns could be let off the leash today. So there's my prediction. I think for Harald Becker, I think... it's difficult to know, really. Obviously, Geraint Thomas not defending his honour. Last year, he was in a break with Stibar and Peter Sagan. I get the feeling that Sagan will win one of them. I don't necessarily think it will be Flanders, but I think that he'll probably win one of them. So we'll go for him to win on Friday, Peter Sagan. And then on Sunday, Gent-Wevelgem. I mean, let's hope that it's not horizontal rain and gale force winds of the sort that blew riders off the road, well, gee, Geraint Thomas specifically, into a ditch. It made the most epic bike race I think I've ever seen. It was fantastic watching on TV. It can't have been that great to have been in it, especially not when falling trees and that kind of stuff. Jürgen Rolantz won, well up in Milan-San Remo in the sprint. Of course, there was the situation with others not sprinting and the crash and stuff. But he went on an epic long solo breakaway in Gent-Wevelgem last year. And while I'm not necessarily saying that Jürgen Rolantz will win, it would be absolutely brilliant if he did, based on the fact that he went quite close last year. In another year, his attack would have probably yielded the win. It was only the ridiculous winds and the fatigue that obviously accrued that stopped him from winning. So we'll go with our heart, not our head. We'll go for Jürgen Rolantz. So... we're going, just to summarise those, in case you are crazy enough to bet on the back of our predictions, we're going for Edward Turns today in the Dwars van Vlaanderen. We're going for Peter Sagan and E3 Harald Becker on Friday, and we are going for Jürgen Rolantz on Sunday. Of course, next week, we will be back with our Tour of Flanders preview. We'll also be talking about the end of the Tour of Catalunya, and also... trying to get a bit more conveyed of the atmosphere of some of these cobble classics. We might even be drinking some beer and eating some frites and mayonnaise while we do the show. So thanks again, as always, for listening. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the correspondence. Please share. Please let us know. Please let your friends know that we're here. And see you next week. Let's hope for some epic racing.